Thank you, Brother Allen. This evening, when I come up here and sit down, I looked out and I saw part of the congregation sitting over here. There was three. Frank, it took me back a good number of years to when Brother Anderson chided us. I thought I was going to have to ask the three strays to get back over with the rest of the herd, but then the others came in, so I didn't have to do that. But I recall some fond memories of our Brother Anderson and how he worked with us and had a very strong force for good with us local. And I hope I can be half the man that Brother Anderson or Brother Bell or the rest of our brothers that's sitting here. I just desire to be half the person that they are. This sermon was given to me about a month ago. I was privileged to go to conference, and the Sunday morning I sat in the back and was helping to direct people into their seats. And the Lord kind of put this sermon on my heart, and unfortunately the ones that need this sermon are not here, so I'm going to be preaching to the choir tonight. But maybe this will stimulate a little bit of thought in your minds. The verse that was put in to my mind was when the Lord appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." You know, we can only imagine how Moses must have felt, being there on that sacred ground in the presence of the Lord. It was holy ground. But we too have places where we worship and seek the Lord our God. The same God that spoke to Moses speaks to us today. The same God that caused Moses to write, the writings are just as true today as they were back in his time. Naturally, we have feelings of spirituality when we come into the house of God, and we reverence Him within our places of worship, within this sanctuary. Several years I recall talking with Brother Bell. And Brother Bell, I was pastor at the time, and Brother Bell talked to me about various things of the local, and he says, "You know, when we dedicate a building to God, we dedicate it to His holiness. This is His house. This is where He resides. This is where His Spirit is, and it continues to be here." My thinking, though, is that how often do we really reverence the Lord our God? Reverence is more than just being quiet in our church meetings within this sanctuary. It encompasses an attitude, and that attitude is profound love for God and respect for all that is sacred. That is what reverence is. The attitude should be so entrenched within our hearts that every time we walk into this building, every time we walk up the steps of this building, we feel that intense love of Jesus Christ within our hearts. And we should feel within our hearts a reverence for His holiness that's here. You know, I've been in meetings where We've held meetings in the home. And certainly, the home is a good place to hold certain types of meetings. But the home is not a place like this sanctuary is. I've been in places where we held meetings in halls, in schoolhouses. It does not have the same attitude as this place does, or as the place upon the temple lot, or any place that has been separated apart for the worship of our Heavenly Father. Yes, we dedicate our homes. I hope we've dedicated each one of our homes to God and called His Spirit to be there in presence all the time. And many people have had a ceremony to where we dedicate a home. But this is God's house. This is His hallowed ground, His holy ground. And when we come here, we need to do so in a spirit of love and respect. Reverence is a spiritual communication between us and our Heavenly Father. When we're reverent, we don't do anything that reflects negatively upon the Lord or His church. Order. Order is a part of reverence. So is cleanliness. Cleanliness of person, cleanliness of apparel, cleanliness of speech, cleanliness of thought, and cleanliness of action. Also, what's part of reverence is courtesy. Respect for one another, kindness. I think the fruits of the Spirit kind of bear that out. And if you want to, you can turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we'll read what is from the 22nd to the 26th verse. And this, I'm reading out of the Inspired Version of the Bible. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. And we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the fruits that Christ expects to see in His church. Just as He expects cleanliness in body, cleanliness in apparel, in our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, whatever. But He expects us to have the fruits of the Spirit. Too many times we don't have that attitude about us when we walk through that door. We demonstrate reverence to the Lord when we possess and live in the fruits of the Spirit. We also demonstrate our lack of reverence when we walk in the lust of the flesh, as revealed in the foregoing verses of the 5th chapter of Galatians. That's 19 through 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He told Moses at the burning bush, he says, don't come hither. Take the shoes off your feet. because the ground that you stand on is holy ground. When we allow ourselves to come in any manner or any way that does not constitute the reverence to the Lord, we allow the evil one to walk through the door with us. All of us need to learn to be reverent, because an atmosphere of reverence invites the Spirit of the Lord to be present. Do you know that's what you're doing? You're inviting the Spirit of the Lord to be here when you respect Him. If we are in Sunday school, you know we need to be reverent. If we're in preaching service, we need to be reverent. If we're in a prayer meeting, we need to be reverent. And most certainly, if we're in a sacrament meeting, we need to be reverent. I see an urgent need to teach the members of the church, both old and young, both male and female, both minister and laity, to be reverent in all meetings, particularly those held in the chapel, whether it be here or in the temple lot local or any other church house where we meet. What prompted this was I was able to sit back in the foyer and observe the sacrament meeting. And it was shocking to me what went on. I realized that you're not the ones that did it, but let me tell you about what went on. There was people that got up and left the meeting hall several times during the meeting. There was a season of prayer called for, and there were people that were whispering back and forth to one another. They were passing the emblems, and even during the asking of the prayer over the emblems, I heard disturbances, people getting up and walking during the prayer over the sacrament. There was several that were administered to, and people were talking during the administration. One had to leave the meeting and was administered to downstairs. The minister doing the administration asked the people in the basement area to please bow their heads and unite with them in a word of prayer for administration. And it quieted down for maybe 30 seconds. But then young men, grown men, that should have known better, started talking with one another, paying no attention of what was happening, not showing the respect for the individual being administered to, or for the minister doing the administration, or for the Spirit of God that is present there. This was really shocking to me. There was a period of time when I know that that door must have fanned 50 times during about a half hour period. I didn't count it because I wasn't interested in counting how many times people went in and out of the meeting. But we wonder why. We really wonder why. I've heard people ask, well, why don't we have the gifts and blessings that we used to have in the church? We used to have miracles performed. We used to have tongues, interpretation of tongues. We used to have the healing of the sick happen right then. And why don't it happen today? It's because we're not showing reverence to God. We're not really reverencing His Holy Spirit in His house. Now, certainly you wouldn't allow anyone to come into your home and be disrespectful. At least I hope you wouldn't. Would you? Would you allow somebody to come into your home and throw things on the floor? We voted to buy some Book of Mormons. And the fear that I had was that maybe that the Book of Mormons wouldn't be respected. You know, this is something that I hold in great esteem. I hold the Scriptures in great esteem. I hate to see anybody. One of the worst things that I see is a minister reading from the Scriptures, and he folds his Bible backward and he swings it around and things like that. That, to me, is upsetting. It's upsetting for me for anyone to misuse or mishandle the Book of Mormon. But we do have things that happen to our books here. The books are, at times, get in disarray. We're better than what we used to be. But the thing about it is that we need to be a people that's more reverent. Brother Bell also told me that whatever we did in this chapel, that we're doing in God's house. So in being reverent in our meetings, we're cultivating an atmosphere of increasing spirituality in our meetings. You wonder why we don't have the gifts and blessings that we once had? It's because we're not cultivating. We're not really searching out and seeking by our actions an atmosphere of increasing spirituality. The people of the Church of Christ should be the most reverent people on the face of the earth. Do you realize that? We should be the most reverent people. Why? Because we're Christ's church. We're the family of God. When we attend conferences and sacrament meetings where children wander unrestrained up and down the aisles, and we notice adults talking to their neighbors, people dozing, people not taking care of life's necessities prior to the beginning of the service, when young people gather in the back of the church or in the foyer, we see families coming in late and filing in noisily to their seats, and groups engage in loud conversation in the chapel before the meetings. You know, this is especially a problem during sacrament meeting, prior to the sacrament meeting. One of the strongest missionary tools in the church, and I want you to realize this, I want you to listen to what I have to say. One of the strongest missionary tools in the church are our meetings. Our meetings are powerful missionary tools. My question is, are our meetings the powerful missionary tool that they can be, where the Spirit of the Lord reigns and penetrates every heart? Do you realize that there was, not too long ago, we had some families come in to this church as visitors? And are we demonstrating that reverence that is necessary for them to look at us as the people of Christ? When I was up there at the church during conference, we had a young couple come in with their two children. And I went up to them and introduced myself and asked if I could show them a seat. In fact, we set them in the back of the church. And they sat there for about 30 minutes. And they got up and come out into the foyer where I was, and they said, well, we're going on home now. And I said, well, I want to welcome you back. This is kind of a special meeting that we're having today because it's our world conference, and I explained what we were doing and what service there was. And they said, well, they were not pleased with the attitude that we had in our service. I think they wanted to have their children see a little bit more control. And I'm not jumping on you people for that because I don't think it's my place. But really, one of the strongest missionary tools we have is our meetings. When my son-in-law come here, Brian, he said that one thing that really impressed him was the way in which we conducted our meetings. But yet, I know we're not perfect, but it is a missionary tool. Whether or not we have spiritual feelings in our meetings may depend on the preparation and attitude that we make before coming here. Do we come here hungering and thirsting after truth, with a prayer in our hearts that the Spirit of the Lord will be here with us? If so, then we will be spiritually fed and filled. If not, if we attend merely to fulfill a requirement or a guilty feeling for not being here, the requirement or the may be all that we do. I've heard for many years now that we don't have the gifts and blessings that once was seen in our meetings. The gifts of the Spirit, such as miracles, callings, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, where the Spirit of God was there in such power that everyone could feel it. And I can remember sitting right there in the back of the room and being in a meeting where the Spirit of God was so strong that not even a young child made a noise. I can remember being in meetings where we did have spiritual manifestations come forth. Where then does reverence begin, and how can we develop it? You know, it's nice to stand up here and talk about a problem that we have, but we need a solution to the problem. The home is the key to reverence, as it is to every other godly or godlike virtue. It's a teaching of our children to pray. It is during personal and family prayers that little ones learn how to bow their heads and fold their arms, close their eyes while the Father in heaven is being addressed. Another way is music. Music is a special delight for children. Hymns that are frequently sung in church can become familiar at home too. It's always been a particular joy for me to see the little ones participate in the singing services. Joel's little kids, how they love to go up and participate and sing their hearts out. And it's a joy. And that's what makes a reverent people. It's also a joy to see Jeff's little boy come up and sit with his grandma at the piano and start to play around with the piano. You know, that's a joy. He's learning to love music. He's learning to love the church. This is teaching reverence and respect for the service. To hear the little ones participate in prayer is a particular joy. You know, I listen to the little kids and their simple prayers, and it's really addressing God. And my brother said something a little while ago. and I forget the gist of it, but something about the apostles needed to what? What was that? Become as little children? You know, that is the truth. That's what we all need to do. We need to become as little children. And just simply love God for what He is. Our own example of reverence will help instill the quality in our children. And certainly it's not always the children that create the commotions in the church. We have some wonderful kids. Are we setting good examples for them, though? This is my question. Can we set an example of reverence for the service if we prepare our hearts and our minds prior to coming to church? That is, begin the morning or the evening with prayer. When you come to the church this evening, were you coming in a prayerful attitude? We can set a good example if we arrive at church at least 15 minutes early and set our visit quietly. We can set a good example for reverence if we take care of all necessities of life prior to the beginning of the service. If necessary to get up during the service, do so in a manner that causes the least amount of disruption or disturbance. If a season of prayer is called for, we need to stop talking. Kneel if asked to, and seek the Lord together. You know, we're told that where two or three are gathered, there He will be also. And we certainly wouldn't want to disrupt His Spirit and cause His Spirit to desire to leave our presence. Don't talk or sleep during the services. That's kind of a given. Once in a while, when I get a little bit sleepy up here and it's hard to stay awake, I bite my lip or pinch my fingers in order to try to do that. I even do that at school. I was just lecturing this morning, and I got so tired I couldn't hardly stay awake myself, and I was lecturing. And it wasn't that boring because I know I'm good. No. but I do these little things to try to stay awake. Treat the sanctuary or the chapel with reverence. If you see paper, pick it up. If you see books strewn through the pews, it doesn't hurt to reach down and pick it up. Certainly if we see someone misusing a book, and I hope you do this to the Book of Mormons, because I'd certainly hate to see those books treated with disrespect. But treat the sanctuary or chapel with reverence. You know, another thing that really is wonderful is to see families sitting together. True reverence is a vital quality. We cannot fully comprehend the power of good we can wield if the members of the Church of Christ will serve as models of reverence behavior. We cannot imagine the additional numbers of our lives we could touch. And perhaps even more important, we cannot foresee the great spiritual impact on our own lives and our own families if we come into this building and come before God in a reverent manner. If we become a reverent people on our own services, we should become the reverent people that God expects us to be. You know, it says in that scripture that I read at the beginning, that God was talking to Moses. He says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Do you know that the place that you're standing on right now or sitting on is holy ground? Because God is here. I'd like to read you just a little section out of the Book of Mormon. It's Alma, the 16th chapter. And I want to start with the 237th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things, that you should work out your salvation and with fear before God, and that you should no more deny the coming of Christ. I know that you don't deny the coming of Christ, that you all made a commitment to Him, that you contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that you receive it and take upon you the name of Jesus Christ, or the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place you may be in the spirit of truth, and that you live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptations of the devil, that ye may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. And my desire for you tonight is, may God continue to grant us His Holy Spirit until we become that people He's called us to be, a reverent and holy people, where we can stand in His presence and we can honor Him and respect Him. Because you know He is here with us. He's here right now. And my desire is that He would use us as a people, and that we would learn a greater respect for the love that He's given us. Thank you.